And if you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 5. I want to preach out of this text tonight. And I want to preach on the lesson of empty nets. I want to preach on the lessons of empty nets. We're reading out of Luke chapter 5. And normally I would have you stand with the reading of the Word, but you stood so long worshiping God. You can just remain seated. I don't think God will be angry with us. But if you feel that you must stand and you won't get anything out of it, then stand. But verse 1 says, "And it came to pass." Everybody say, "And it came to pass." "That as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon answering said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.' When they had done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. Hallelujah. May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word tonight. I want to preach tonight, and I've come with a message for someone. And I want to preach, amen, on the lesson of empty nets. Now I know we live in a modern kind of Christian era, where many do not preach that failure is a blessing, but I want to show you that sometimes God even lets you fail. And that in failure, there is a blessing. There is a season for every child of God that I call the season of an empty net. Hang on, because there's someone in here like me that isn't so super spiritual that has their moments. I have seasons of empty nets. I don't like them. And the TV evangelist told me I shouldn't have them, because I have no faith, he says, if I have a season of empty nets. If things ain't going right or things aren't going so great, I must be doing something wrong. But I'm going to show you that God is in seasons of empty nets. I'm going to blow that theology right out the water tonight. And I'm going to have somebody in here like me feel real good. When God gave me this message, I felt real good about it. Because I realized it wasn't my fault, nor was it something wrong with me, nor was it a lack of my faith. It was just a season. Somebody say a season. And God was in it. You can rebuke the devil all you want to. But God is in the seasons sometimes of empty nets. God uses failure. He uses heartache and sorrow sometimes to raise you to a higher level of ministry. He uses the season of empty nets to teach you something that you cannot be taught if you had a full net all the time. I pastored two churches. I have a third one. And one of my churches is dying. And I understand now, and I have great compassion for preachers that their churches are not having very full fruit. And I have had opinions from everybody on why. But I believe that God lets you go through some seasons of time to teach you something, to give you compassion to where you may not have had compassion before. Now in this text, Jesus comes to Simon Peter and the ones that are fishing with him. And he finds them at the brink of the Lake of Gennesaret, washing their nets. When a fisherman washes his net, it means he's done. Usually it means he's had a successful night and he's caught his limit and he's done now. And he's washing his nets, amen, to put them away for another day, amen. Most of the time it's a great time. It's a time of rejoicing. It's a time of kind of bragging and boasting. Man, we caught tonight. Boy, we got our quota. Boy, whatever like that. But Jesus comes on this scene and it's not a pleasant scene. He finds fishermen that are washing their nets, but they're not washing their nets because the labor has been fruitful. They're not washing their nets because everything has went well. They're washing their nets in failure. Oh, I can just hear somebody say, I didn't come for this message. Well, I didn't come to preach it either, but I'm going to preach what God gave me. And I don't know if it's a camp meeting message or not. If anybody that's an expert in camp meeting messages, tell me whether it is one or not. But if it's not one, I'm preaching it anyhow. I found out that this really, this ministered to me. Because I've had my seasons of emptiness. I've had my times when things weren't going right, and I tried everything, fasted and prayed and read books, and my library is full of books on how to be successful, how to do it, 7 steps to this, 10. I could have a bonfire tonight. And the best thing I could do is probably burn them all and roast some hot dogs or marshmallows. Be more productive, because it just confused me. They messed me up. They made me think, amen, bless God, that God, I must be something wrong with me. I must not be preaching right. I must not be doing right. My life wouldn't be this messed up. I must not have did right, or my children wouldn't be out like they are. Or my children would be in the house of God, or my grandchildren would be in the house of God. I don't understand what I'm going through. I'm washing my nets in failure. I'm washing them in discouragement. I'm washing them ready to hang it up. Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't have to admit it. I'll admit it for you. I have my resignation letter typed and signed and in my drawer for the last 20 years. And there are times when I sure like to pull it out. Nothing going right. Everything so dried, tumbleweeds going through the aisle. Death Valley days. I preach in messages and people aren't moving. And messages that I'm preaching now, they would have shouted and ran down through the aisle. But now they're looking at me like, what's wrong with you? Let's hurry up and get out of here. Amen. You're getting old fashioned. You're a dinosaur. We don't got the modern whatever. We can't compete with I've been there. I've been there when things didn't work out right, or the meeting didn't go right, or the tent meeting had 2 people rather than a whole multitude. I've been there when I said, did Shambok start this way? Did Swaggart start that way? Did Oral Roberts start? Oh, why am I pulling up empty nets? I've tried everything. I've tried to get Sunday school, get this going, get this program, get that program. I've found this to be, when you're going through the season of empty nets, you will struggle to try to find the answer. But the answer is this, it's only a season. You will come out of it. Don't change what you're doing. And I'm not talking about changing program or changing this. I'm not talking that. I believe in modern style. I believe that some things we've done didn't work and we need to change. I believe that, praise God. But I'm not saying throw the baby out with the bathwater because you're going through an empty net season. I'm not saying get panicked. Look at your neighbor and say, don't panic. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Oh, I'm going to have fun with this, man. Don't lose it, praise God. Hey, man, there must be something wrong. I haven't been blessed in 2 weeks. I guess I better stand up on my head like so-and-so's doing or do whatever they're doing because they seem to get blessed. Well, don't panic. It's just a season. If you stay faithful and hold on, Jesus will come by and teach you why you've got to go through what you're going through. Hallelujah. Us Pentecostals, we like to hurt, jerk, and do whatever we can to finagle the thing. But if it ain't moving, I don't care what you do. I don't care how you pray. You keep pulling the net up and it's empty. Guess what? You're going through a season of time. It's a trial of your faith. Hold on. Your God is faithful. Don't wash your nets in defeat. Don't hand your Sunday school curriculum in. Don't put your pastor under that kind of pressure. Amen, bless God. He don't need any more than that. It's your season. Grow up and man up and woman up and be a mature child of God and just fight through the thing because God will help you. Handing your curriculum in, washing your net. You'll wash your nets the rest of your Christian walk. You'll be washing your net every time something don't move or the glory don't move or you don't feel the goosebump run down your spine. You'll be washing your net. Song leader, you'll be giving it in. I don't feel like singing tonight, preacher. I don't feel anything, pastor. I don't feel anything sometime when I preach, but I got to preach anyhow. Get up here and sing. Get up here and say, I know you're going through an empty net time and I wish I could help you, but it's something God's doing, something God's teaching you, something God's putting you through, and I sure wish I could go through it, but I can't. It's a season that you've got to go through. Hey, I'm going through my own problem. I've got my own. Let's just get together and get through this together. Ain't time to resign. Don't feel like cooking for camp this year. Well, bless your pea-picking heart. Don't feel like doing this and that. Well, there's a lot of things I don't feel like doing. But you don't walk by feeling. You walk by faith. Empty nets all night long. Hey, it ain't a time you... I mean, we're talking dramatic here. We're not talking about pulling up an empty net once out of 3 times. We're talking all night long. Everybody say, all night long. You ever gone through a night season? Ever gone through a season that it just seemed like every time you pulled the net up, you were expecting something and it didn't happen? Your prayers weren't answered yet. The miracle has not happened yet. Deliverance has not happened yet. The thing is still messed up in your family and it's not happened yet, but you're believing God. But every time you pull the net up, it's still empty. Amen, bless God. I'm telling you, that's a place where God has to teach you to hold on. Amen. Peter never had a night like this, and you don't have seasons like that all the time. Thank God we don't go through empty net seasons all of the time. Couldn't take it if all Christianity was nothing but an empty net. But there is a season. And there ain't anything wrong with me. Look at your neighbor, stick your tongue out and say, there's nothing wrong with me. See? I'm normal. I'm a normal Christian.
I'm just not getting blessed right now. Well, take a prayer cloth. Take oil. Let me put it on your head. Let me do a cross, three crosses. That worked for me last time. Let's do this, do that. And they finagle to try to get you, amen, blessed when you're not going to, you're going through a season of time. It doesn't mean you be morbid. It don't mean you just sit around looking like a storm cloud. I got poochy lip disease like, oh, I'm going through a season. Get out of my way. No, you've got to keep the joy of the Lord, the peace of God, faith in God. Can you shout out? You've got to keep your composure. I mean, Peter lost it. We watch them fish in Haiti. When they throw them nets out, that takes a lot of work. There's weights connected to them weight nets. And when they throw them things out, you should see some of them fishermen. They're buffed up, man. I mean, the one that picked me up and carried me out of the boat to the shore, he's a pretty strong man. I can't think of his name, but he's the fisherman there. He's pretty strong. You take them nets and you throw them out and you're sweating and every ounce of your strength and your muscles are aching and it's hard work. And all night long you throw it out and you keep pulling it in and it's empty. Well, let's fish over here. The last time I caught over, you throw it out and it's empty. We're not talking empty. The Bible said he caught nothing. Peter said we've caught nothing. Nothing means nothing. Nothing doesn't mean we caught some. It means nothing. Peter never had a night like this. And somebody in this tabernacle is going through a season of time that you've never, ever gone through in your whole Christian walk. It's dark. It's night. You feel alone, you feel helpless, you feel hopeless, you feel as though you've labored, you've worked, you've prayed, you've sweat, you've shouted, you've done everything, and you keep on pulling up empty nets. So he's washing the nets, we're done. I'm out of here. I'm questioning my calling even to fish. Boy, that's serious stuff when a fisherman gonna put his pole away. Peter said, I can't even make a living anymore. I'm going home and tell my wife I caught nothing tonight. We went everywhere. You know what I believe? Now I'm preaching, not you, so let me tell you what I think. I think God told every fish, get away. Get away, I want to teach this man something. Get off. He threw the net that way, the fish go that way. Not one even was a straggler to get caught. I want to teach him something tonight. Maybe Peter thought he'd pretty good fisherman. He could do it on his own. And he got to where he thought, well, you know what? I'm in pretty control of my life. I've got this thing down pat. I've kind of got this prayer faith down pat. That, you know what I'm praying? You know them egotistic Christians? Those arrogant ones that say to you when you got a sniffle, I never get sick a day of my life. You want to say to them, you big liar, you. And if you don't get sick, why make fun of me? I got a nose like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and I don't feel good, and you're making fun of me? Have compassion if you're such a great Christian. Come on now. Well, I've never went through a hard place financially. I'm always blessed. God supplies my need. There ain't any hard place. You want to think to them, where do you live? What life, what planet are you on? Huh? Well, I never had any problem with my family. You know, train them up in the way that you want to say, stick a sock at it. Something wrong with you. Because we're living on earth and there's problems and there's situations and there's people hurting and ministry hurts. People in the pulpit hurt. We're flesh and blood just like the person that sits in the pew. It rains on the just and the unjust. We pull up empty nets probably more than you do even. Because we probably reach out to believe and do more. Amen, praise God. But Jesus wants to teach you something in this season. Can you say amen? Let's look at this. Here's Peter. He's washing his nets. He's about done. The Lord comes. Isn't that like the Lord to come just when you need Him? The Lord didn't come in the middle of the night. He came in the morning. after they're tired, aching, after they've fished all night unsuccessfully, and the master comes just when he knows you can't take no more. How many times have I paced the floor, hot tears run down my face, and thought, I can't take no more of this. This is hard. I don't know why you're asking this of me. It's a hard cross to bear. It's a hard place to be in. And I don't think I can make it on my own, only to have the Lord come just when I needed Him. Come on now. See, the empty net should have spoke to Peter, and the empty net ought to preach to you. And let me tell you what it's preaching to you. It's preaching this: you're not in control of your life. There's somebody higher that's in control of your life. That you don't dictate what comes and goes and whatever. That a day can change quickly, and a season can change quickly. You need to thank God for the fullness and the blessings and the days of healing and the days of health and the days when God has been good and the blessings have been poured out, because that empty net time, you're going to have to remind yourself of the good times when God did bless, God did move, God was working, and remind yourself of the goodness of your God. Well, that empty net teaches you you're not in control. You don't save people, deliver people, or you don't bless yourself. God is the blesser. That empty net makes you appreciate the good times. Makes you not take for granted the presence of God or take for granted the blessings of God. It makes you, when you come out of it, sure glad that God does bless, that God does touch. It gives you a higher dimension of worship, a higher dimension of gratitude and thanksgiving. Are you listening to me tonight? It helps you. I know it's the first night, but hang on. I come ready to preach to you like it's the fourth night. Hallelujah. It gives you a higher appreciation. If I could put if everything went well and everything went good, you wouldn't thank God. Amen. Bless God. But the bad times help you thank God for the good times. Can you shout hallelujah? See, but Peter, like you and I, that empty net wasn't preaching anything but failure to him, anything but condemnation to him, anything but your God's not with you, your God don't bless you, your God don't... Hey, the net has nothing to do with the love of God or the blessing of God or the goodness of my God or the faithfulness of my God. If I pull up an empty net, there's still a God on the throne. There's still a God in control. There's still a God that's Lord over my life. Devil, the net has nothing to do with it. The devil will get you on that snare and trap. Well, God must not love me. I'm pulling up an empty net. God must not love me. My prayer has not been answered yet. God must not love me. My body is still sick and I've not been healed yet. That has nothing to do with God's love, God's faithfulness, and God's greatness. Hallelujah. You look that empty net in the face and you tell that empty net, it may be empty and weeping might endure for the night, but joy's coming in the morning. I'm holding on. My God is faithful. Can you say amen? I will fish another day. Peter didn't feel that way. I'll fish another day. Though I pulled up empty nets today, we'll rest and fish. No, he's washing his net. He's defeated and he's ready to give up. I'm sorry to say that I'm not so great a spiritual Christian that sometimes I think, well, the empty net's teaching me something here. I have my moments. Right, put the net down and step all over and have a tantrum. God, where are you? God, why aren't you blessing? God, where is your anointing? God, where is the presence of... I have my moments, but I've got to get a hold of myself. But it's hard to get a hold of myself. Jesus has to come and get a hold of me. And look what Jesus does. They're washing their nets, and Jesus comes walking. He already knows. He knows what. He doesn't say to them, "Have you been successful?" He can see it on their face. He doesn't say to them, "I think we ought to go to a seminar and find out how to fish, Peter. It seems like you don't know how to fish anymore. Seems like you've lost the touch." Jesus don't condemn you, nor does He scold you. "Well, I don't see you shouting like you used to." I don't say He don't scold you. He comes to minister. He comes to help you. He comes to pull you out of that situation. If He scolds you and beats on you, you'd walk away. But He comes to minister to you because He loves you, and He doesn't want you to leave with your net washed and give up. Can you shout hallelujah? The Lord loves somebody. He gave me this message. He wants somebody to know that emptiness doesn't mean that God don't love you. It don't mean give up. It means hold on and believe. Jesus is coming to minister to you. Personally. Personally. He knows I'm hurting. He knows I'm confused. He knows I'm frustrated. He knows all about it. I don't have to tell Him. He immediately knows. He sees it on my face. Though I hide it from others. Though I hide it from others, He knows. He sees. He knows. Though He was not even there, He watched me in the night. He watched my heartbreak. He watched my sorrow come. He watched the disappointment flood in like a wave. He watched me become overcome and my heart become overwhelmed. He heard my cry. And just like the Master, He came just when I needed Him. I was washing my net, ready to give up. How many? Not give up on the Lord, but give up on the situation. Maybe say, "Well, I just won't pray any harder about it. I'll just not pray so much about it. I'll just brace myself. I'll brace myself." Evidently, God don't want an answer. But yes, He does. Just because I'm going through this season doesn't mean God don't want an answer. Just because I'm going through the season doesn't mean God don't love my children. God don't love the situation. God loves. God loves. God cares. And what touches me, the Bible said He's a high priest that can be touched by our infirmities. He's touched with divine compassion. The very trouble I'm going through touches Him. It don't flow off of Him. He don't sit there like somebody that doesn't understand. That's what I love about Jesus. He can be touched. He understands what I'm going through. And He's not condemning me. He sees the weakness of my flesh. He comes to help me and minister to get me out of it. Oh, I wish somebody would help me. I feel like we could have church. I feel something moving around me. How many deacons are washing their nets? They're doing it. But they've not quite said they've given up yet, but they've done it already in their heart. They've given up. They've quit deacon. Amen. A long time ago, how many song leaders have given up and lost their life and energy and go through the motions? How many sit in the pew lifeless? The devil has beat on them. Life has beat on them. Life has robbed their song and joy and taken from them the very vital, abundant life that Jesus, amen, promised them. And they blame it on the empty net. They blame it on this. They blame it on that. But the truth of the matter, God didn't send that season to destroy you. He sent it to make you better. To make you stronger. To make you put your eyes on Him. Because let's face it, the empty net, you've got nobody but Him. Huh? Nobody satisfies like Jesus. Nobody. So Peter's aching. He's ready to shut it down. And here comes Jesus. Sometimes Jesus will come when you don't want Him to come. Sometimes Jesus will cramp your style. He'll come when you just want a pity party and you want to be left alone. And here comes Jesus. He come on the shore. They're washing the net. And he says to Peter, I need your boat. I feel like preaching. Got a whole multitude here. Follow me. And we want to have church. And Peter, we'd like to use your boat. And you know what Peter's thinking? I've been out all night in this boat. I've caught nothing. My muscles ache. And the last place I want to be is church. I do not feel churchy right now, Jesus. Has anybody not felt that way? Anybody sat in the pew and you just hope people didn't come around you and shake your hand? How you doing, brother? So that you put the phony face on and say, growing great. What you really want to say is, get out of my face. I don't feel churchy. I've had a long night, a long season. I don't understand. I woke up in the middle of the night. A telephone from somebody that I've been praying for. And they don't seem to get their life straightened out. And I can't seem to straighten it out. And I prayed. You really want to know how I'm feeling? Then sit down here and brace yourself. I'm about ready to blow you out of the water. Because I don't feel good. My life's out of control. And if I can tell you right now, life stinks. Now go back to your pew and sit down and leave me alone. It's what you like to say. I said it for you, huh? Well, you know, if I was you, you're not me, so get out of here. They analyze and scrutinize. Well, if you hadn't, don't go down there. Don't go there. Don't you go there. I'm hurting too bad to have you, Sister Snoot and Diddle, poke your nose in. I'll put your nose like a pug nose. Amen. You got your nose in the wrong... You with the wrong person. I'm about ready to have a fit and it ain't Holy Ghost. Ah, my wife says, go pray. Go pray. It's dangerous. Go pray. Go pray. Because I'm talking about this and I'm talking about that and I'm getting agitated. I'm getting frustrated. I'm getting... My wife says, you better go pray. I pray. I pace the floor. It takes me a while. It takes me a while to get myself out of the way. But Jesus will come in spite of myself and in spite of how I am. That's one thing about Jesus. He loves me in spite of myself. And sometimes I'm really beside myself. Ah, you're more spiritual than the evangelist this week. Huh? Lord, I don't even want you by me. I'm staying here anyhow. Lord, I don't even feel like praying. That's all right. I'll sit here and intercede for you. And I'll just be here for you. I'll be like a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'll just sit here quietly. I won't do a whole lot. Amen. Oh, Lord, you know better. If you just hang around, I've got to get better. You hang around and I've got to get my attitude right. If you would just walk out the door, I could feel more carnal and feel more worldly and kind of just have a fit and kind of feel. But as long as you're sitting here, Lord, there ain't no way. The Lord said, that's why I'm here. I don't want you to blow your cool. I don't want you to blow off steam. At the same time, I've come to help you. So look at your neighbor and tell him Jesus has come to help you in spite of yourself. Well, I don't deserve to be blessed right now. I don't feel blessable. Jesus knows that. That's why there's grace. That's why He comes. He come just in time, because if Peter would have washed them nets and went home, he'd have been a failure. If he'd have washed them nets and went home, he maybe never fish again, maybe never been a disciple, maybe never preached on the day of Pentecost. Jesus knew just when to come, and Jesus knows just when to minister to you. It's not a sin to fail. It's not a sin to go through and have sorrow or be discouraged. It's a sin to let yourself remain in that condition. Come on now. And the human part of you wants to. And let's be truthful. In this part I'm preaching in, there ain't anybody can help you. I'm a pastor, and I can't help some that are going through the season of emptiness. I like to help them. I like to give them a Pentecostal handshake. And God said, don't you dare do that. I'm working on them. I've caused every fish to get out of there because they think they're doing it all. They think this and that. I'm bringing them down so I can teach them. Amen. That's hard as a pastor because I don't want to see anybody suffer. I really don't want to see anybody go through the seasons of emptiness because it ain't pleasant. I've been there. Amen. When everyone else is blessed and I'm not blessed and it seems like nothing's working right. Amen. Bless God. And I'm not learning the lesson very well. I'm not really getting a hold of it very well. Amen. Bless God. But I've got to let them go through that because they'll never come out on the other side. They'll never do anything for God. Well, God's a God of love. He never let me go through something like He let Peter go through it. But He didn't let Peter wash the nets and go home. See? And Jesus will let you go through the season, but He'll not let it destroy you. He'll let you go through the night, but He'll be there in the morning to help you. And He's there more than words and lecture. He's there more to say, you know you're a preacher. Why don't you, come on now. You ought not be feeling this way. What in the world is wrong with you? You're a preacher. You're called of God. Well, He doesn't do that. He says in a very subtle way, I'm going to use you. But I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. You just knew what happened. You just seen what kind of fit I'm through. You just seen what kind of... I'm not worthy. I'm going to use you. Because I understand in order to get you out of this season. Listen to me. Now, I've got to use you. I've got to get your mind off of your problem, your empty net, and get you in a mood of service. I've got to get you beyond your own little thing and realize there's far more than just you that's involved in this, Peter. There are people that want to hear the Word of God, and I know what kind of night you had, but listen, all I'm asking for is your vote. Time is to preach when you don't feel worthy to preach. You go around asking anybody else, you got the message? You got the message? You got the message? You ask the broom, you ask the janitor, you got the message? Surely I can't be the one to preach tonight. Not the day I've had. Not the week I've had. Not just the fit I just threw. My Lord, if my church knew what kind of fit I just threw, they probably would kick me out. I've never listened to it. But my Lord, I've just had a moment. I've been overwhelmed. Amen. Discouraged. But you don't get up there and say, well, folks, I've not been blessed in a long while. God's not moving. I've been preaching for the last 3 weeks with no anointing. Oh man, I'm telling you what, I'm going, you can't do that. That's why the Lord says, get on up there. He don't make you a liar. He just makes you victorious. But Master, don't you know? I know that's why I've come. Don't you know what kind of condition I'm in spiritually? That's why I'm here, Peter. Amen. I don't want you going home in the condition you're in. That's why we're going to have church. Hallelujah. Amen. And when you can get through the season of empty net and God can use you as a vessel in spite of yourself, there is a great blessing coming. There is something on the horizon. Let me talk to somebody in this house tonight. Do I have your attention? Let me talk to you. This season, it's but a season. If you can make it through it, and God can use you in the midst of the season, there is a mighty outbreak, a breakthrough, a mighty move of God on the other side of this season. How many have given up in the middle? How many have cease to go forward and allow the devil to rob them of the blessing. How many have washed their nets and gone home, never to know what was beyond the season of empty net? I want to know. God, don't bring me through it just to bring me through it. There's something good on the other side. I've got to make it. It's hard. I've got to get through it. It's hard. I've got to walk by faith. It's hard. I've got to pray by faith. I may not feel anything, but God still hears me. I've got to remind myself, God is faithful. And I'm never by myself. He was with me there in that empty net season. Can you say amen? I'm going to use you, Peter. I just need your boat. Peter says, well, then I got to stay. Yeah. So here's Peter. Like most of us Sunday morning, he's half there. His body's aching. I could sure use Ben Gay right now. Man, I'm hungry. I have no breakfast. Boy, I wonder what my wife's going to say when I bring nothing home for lunch. Oh, his mind's going a million miles an hour, like some of you tonight even. Amen. Though you're in camp meeting, your mind's just going with the problems you have and the situations you have. Amen. But somewhere along the line, Jesus started getting through to Peter as he began to teach the Word of God. And if you'll just stick around Jesus long enough, He'll help you. Can you say amen? The deacon can't help you. The preacher can't help you. But Jesus sure can help you. So you don't got to be super spiritual. You just got to stick around. Just kind of stay there and let Him minister to you. Can you say amen? Because there's a blessing. There's a word for you. There's a promise for you. There's something personally for you if you can get through it. The demons of hell probably told them, you ain't getting anything. Everybody else is getting blessed around here. And listen to them. They're hearing the word. And you're just kind of sitting here. You just ought to go home. You ought to just tell Jesus, you can have the boat. You can put it back to Jesus. Amen. Put it back to shore. I'm going home. And probably the devil was trying to talk him out of the blessing. But little did Peter understand that beyond this moment, God was getting ready to minister personally to him. Because when the Lord got done with the multitude, sent them away, He turned to Peter, to the troubled soul, to the struggling one, to the one that was there but wasn't really there. He turned to Peter and gave Peter a personal word. Anybody like a word? Anybody like the Lord to minister to you? Anybody like the Lord to speak in the midst of your problem? Then you've got to hold on. Because He'll eventually turn to you. Simon Peter. Yes. Launch out. Oh! Jesus don't want to fish. Jesus could care less to fish. But He's going fishing with Peter because fishing means something to Peter. And Peter needs the fish. And sometimes Jesus will just go along because you need blessed. He don't need blessed. You need blessed. You need minister too. Hallelujah. And really, He didn't come for this one. He come for you. And in the roundabout way, He gets right to you. Amen. Everyone else getting blessed. Everyone else getting touched. And you're going through it. And you think, oh, this is another service. Oh, this is another camp meeting. Oh. And suddenly, everybody shouts suddenly. Suddenly, the Master turns and speaks a word right to you. Launch out! It's a word you can't even comprehend. It's a word you can't even take. I'm in no shape to launch out. Jesus said, yes, you are. I'm getting in the boat. Let's launch out into the deep. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me tonight? Listen to what Peter says. I don't got time. I can't go up and read it. But I'll just tell you what I think it says, and I hope you don't get offended if I don't say it exactly right. He says, Master, isn't it amazing how we'll talk back to God? Master, I've toiled all night. see us in here? Didn't you see us washing our nets? Didn't you notice the boat is empty? Didn't you notice, Master? Isn't it amazing how we'll talk back to God? Isn't it amazing that God's trying to minister to us in our greatest need and we're pushing Him aside? Master, you don't understand. They're so lost and they're so backslid. Master, you don't understand. The doctor don't give them much time. Master, you don't understand. Master, what word is that word don't even line up with what's going on. That word lines up better than you think. That word is what you need. What kind of word do you think Jesus is going to give him? All right, we're done with church. Go home as a failure. All right, I'm going to pray over you, Peter. I'm going to pray over you. Oh, Father, help Peter. You're not a Peter, but help Peter. Peter's really discouraged. Peter's really downhearted. Peter has got one foot in the grave. He looks pretty bad. Peter feels like giving up. Peter don't feel like praying, Lord. He don't feel like going. Who needs to be reminded how miserable you feel? Don't pray that kind of prayer over me. I've been through the night. I'm a dangerous person. I've caught nothing all night long. I don't need no prayer like, Lord, he looks discouraged. Lord, if it be your will, I'll grab you and say it is his will. Get me out. I need a word. Somebody say, I need a word. I need something to minister to me. Something to raise me up from the level I'm in. I need something to minister and touch me and stir me to get me up out of where I'm at. I don't need somebody to condescend and come down. I need somebody to lift me up and get me out. And isn't it just like the Master? He's not going to sit there and say, we're staying here forever. Peter, I guess you're a failure. I guess you know you're going to not catch anything anymore. Isn't it just like the Master to turn around and say, let's go right back out. Let's face this problem. Let's go through this valley. And this time, I've got a word. I've got something for you. We ain't coming back empty-handed. Isn't that like the Lord? To speak something personally to you that just blesses you and overwhelms you, that though the circumstance hasn't changed, there's a peace that passes all understanding. There's a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory, and the circumstance hasn't changed. But what's changed is the Lord has ministered and spoke to you. The preacher can preach an hour and he don't do that. But the Master, all he's got to do is speak personally and single you out and speak to you. This is what we're going to do. We're in this thing together. Peter, we're not going home a failure. Amen. Let's launch out. But we say, Master, I've toiled all night. We've taken nothing. But nevertheless, somebody say nevertheless. The nevertheless is the moment. That's the moment. That's the moment that things start turning around for you. The nevertheless is the moment. Not when the circumstances change, but it changes inside of you. The nevertheless releases something in you that breaks the chains of heaviness and breaks the hold of the enemy. The nevertheless takes you out of yourself and in the realm of faith to believe. What is Peter saying? I'm trying, Master. I'm trying to get above this. I'm trying to get bit above this season, this night I've had. I'm trying to rise above it. And the word you've said just shakes me. And I want to grab a hold of it. And all Peter can get, don't get out. Well, yes, glory to God. Well, hallelujah. Well, I've got great big faith. Well, yeah. The all he can get, the most spiritual thing he can muster up is a nevertheless. But that's enough. Look at your neighbor and tell him, that's enough. That's enough to get out of it. That's enough to get out of it. That's enough. Somebody is getting out of it tonight. Somebody is getting out of it. Somebody is going to break some chains and get out. Somebody is going to rise and look your problem in the eye and say, nevertheless, somebody is going to say, I don't care what you're doing, devil. Nevertheless, I'm serving God. Nevertheless, I'm going to church. Nevertheless, I'm praying and believing. Nevertheless, nevertheless, somebody shout, nevertheless, hallelujah. Nevertheless, I'm reaching. Nevertheless, I'm trusting God. I am going back out. Hallelujah. I've got to close. Somebody come to the organ. I've got to close. Come quickly. I've got to close because I don't know what time it is. There's no clock around. I can't tell. But I feel like I've got to close because I'm about ready to lose somebody. And I don't want to lose you. I don't want to lose you tonight. Nevertheless, nevertheless, he goes out again in the same place. The same place. And the Lord says, stop right here. I could see Peter saying, Lord, this ain't a good place. I just was here not too long ago. I could hear the Lord say, it's all right now. Look at your neighbor and tell them, it's all right now. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. It's going to be all right because I've spoken the word over the situation. It's going to be all right because I've given you a living promise, something to hold on to in the midst of your night of empty nets. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. If I don't go through the season of emptiness, I can't have the season of an abundance. I can't have the breakthrough. Peter never would have caught the fish he caught the second time out. There's no way he'd have caught a Haman some, yes, and he'd have went home satisfied. But the empty net taught him something, that when God is in something, God will bless. God will bring him out. And when Peter went this time, they begin to pull the net up. It was so full, it began to break. What am I saying? I'm telling somebody, hold on, your God is faithful. He will bring you out. He will bless. He will bless. You will see it and understand and appreciate the season of an empty net. You will look back. I know it's hard now, but you will look back and thank God for the season you're going through now. I know it's difficult now. The muscles ache. The night is dark. And you, nothing's happening. And the demons of hell are screaming in your ear. And you feel like giving up. But hold on. It'll be worth it all. You'll have a testimony by the end of the day. Can you say amen? You'll come back the second time with a boatload. The first time you came back with your heart broken. The first time you came back with your head down. And you're going through the season. And the devil has laughed. And he thought he broke your wheel. And he thought you'd give up by now. But you're holding on to a nevertheless. You're holding on to the faithfulness of God. You're holding on and saying, God will not leave me nor forsake me. God is here. I can't see him, but he's here. I see no evidence of him, but he's here. A packer cried out, though the stalls be empty and the wine press give not its wine, and the fig and the olive blossom and the fig tree blossom not, yet will I rejoice in the God of my salvation. There is a time when you must offer to God a sacrifice of praise. I was preaching a meeting somewhere, and a dear older sister was crying, and it seemed like everybody just left her crying. And the reason they did, people aren't mean, people aren't nasty, but it had been such a long season, nobody knew what to pray anymore. Nobody knew what to tell her. She just cried. The Lord spoke to me and I walked over to her. And I said, the Lord just said to me, it's not your fault. Your son's outside of the faith, but it's not your fault, Mama. You've tried your best.
tears now of joy started to flow down her face because God came to let her know the empty net is not your fault. The season is not your fault. How many Christians sometimes sit in the pew and this hyper-faith business has ruined them to tell them because you got no faith, you're not healed. Or your family's not in the house of God because you did not. Amen. And when the Lord wants to minister and tell the church, it's not your fault. It's just the season. It's just the time. It's not your fault. How dare us scrutinize and analyze somebody's season. You pull up empty nets, sis, and I guarantee you, you'll have a greater compassion for somebody that's pulling up an empty net. That's why the season of empty net makes us a better Christian. Because it makes us humble and compassionate. And when life doesn't quite go the way we thought it should, or the way somebody promised it, it should. Yet God promised, I will bring good out of this, and I will restore what the locust and the cankerworm has destroyed. Now notice that promise. He promised to restore what the locust and the cankerworm. He didn't say the locust and the cankerworm would not destroy. He said they will destroy. In other words, you read that, there's nothing left. Total devastation. There was nothing left. And God said to Joel, I'll call things that are not as though they are, and I'll restore what the locust and the cankerworm has destroyed. He didn't promise that they wouldn't destroy. He promised to restore. To the brother or the sister that's hurting tonight because your spouse left you, He didn't promise you, amen, that your marriage would be perfect. But He promised to restore and help you and give you grace. To the person that's aching in your body and you haven't been healed yet, yes, He's promised healing. Yes, He's promised a divine healing. But your suffering and you haven't been healed yet does not mean God don't love you and that He's not faithful. Just hold on. Nevertheless, hold on. God will touch you. God will help you and sustain you. Can you shout amen? My condition in my body caused me to be crippled for years. I was criticized by many. How can you lay hands on people when you're sick? You go get healed yourself. I had them say that. You go get healed yourself before you run a prayer line. And God said, I'm healing whether you're healed or not. I'm healing. And you keep laying hands on people and don't you listen to them critics. Amen. Hallelujah. You go till you can't go. You walk till you can't walk. Hallelujah. Can God heal? Yes. Can God do miracles? Yes. But God has various ways of either healing or bringing you out of it one way or another. But the key is the nevertheless. Are you going to sit there and let it destroy you? Or are you going to rise and hear the word of the Lord and rise up and launch out and move on? Can you say amen? Look at your neighbor and say, let's move on. Let's get up. Let's move on. We can't let this destroy us. We can't let this season destroy us. I've got to get a nevertheless inside of me. Something got to rise. I've got to draw the line and tell the devil, enough is enough. I'm holding on. God will not fail me. God will not fail me. Stand to your feet if you will. Stand to your feet. I want to give an altar call tonight for people. And I want as many people to come because I wanted to bring it this way. Either you're going through a season of empty net or you know somebody that you need to pray for that's going through a season. A loved one. But this altar is going to be full tonight of people. Just natural people. People that love God. People that are spiritual. People that have faith. And there ain't nothing wrong with you. It's just a season. God has come to tell you tonight on the
first night of camp meeting. There's nothing wrong with you. It's just the season. Hold on. Hold on. But I want you to come tonight and get around this altar. Say, Lord, you must speak to me. You must minister to me. I need your help to get through this. I need your help. Come on, come on, come on. Step out of where you're at tonight. I need your help to get through this. I need you to strengthen me tonight. I need you to touch me tonight. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through or why the enemy is hit, but I am holding on. Here I am, Lord. Come on, come on. Here I am, Lord. I feel like some are under attack of the enemy. I feel like some churches are under attack of the enemy. And sometimes we'll say, how did the door get open? Where's the devil? And if we're not careful, we'll point our finger at each other. Or we'll do things. But the truth of the matter is, he comes in like a flood. He just gets in. Sometimes I don't understand why everything seemed to be going good. And then all of a sudden, I don't catch nothing. All of a sudden, I'm going through a great season of time. And I don't understand. But I need to learn. Let that net speak a lesson to me. Let it preach to me that God is still in control of my life. That God is faithful. That God is good. That I serve Him not for the fullness of the net, but I serve Him because of who He is. I don't serve Him for the blessing. Maybe He's testing you. Maybe He's testing you to see why do you serve Him? Do you serve Him just for the blessing? Or do you serve Him for who He is? I don't know why. I don't know why you're going through what you're going through, but I've come to tell you it's only a season. The Lord will speak. Let the Lord minister. Let Him touch you. Let Him personally touch you tonight in this tabernacle. He'll touch every individual. He'll begin to speak. He'll begin to help you. I know that. Oh Lord, begin to touch. I've got nothing for your people in myself, but you can come on by and speak a word to touch them and to help them through this season. You can help them now. My God, come on, reach out. Reach out to the Lord. Reach out to the Lord. Tell Him I'm weary, I'm tired. Come on, don't play games with Him. He knows your heart. I'm weary. I'm tired. I need to minister to. I don't want to leave this tabernacle the same way I came. I need minister to. I need you to minister. I need a word. I need touched. I don't need the preacher to lay a hand on me. I need you to lay a hand on me. I don't need the preacher to prophesy. I need you to speak something in the depths of my heart. I feel like the Lord will speak. I feel like the Lord has come on by. He ain't going to let you leave like you came. Ah, this camp meeting, He's come to help you. He's come to minister. He ain't going to let you leave. No, not the way you came. Oh, let Him touch you. Let Him give you peace. Let Him speak a word of healing to your broken spirit. Let Him touch you. Come on, come on, come on, reach out. Let Him touch you. Let Him touch you. Let Him touch you. Let Him pour the oil and the wine into the hurts. The hurts that only you and Him know. Let Him pour oil and wine and minister to you tonight. Oh, I love the shout. I love the dance. But there's times when I just need Him to pour oil and wine into a hurt. I need Him to specially minister to me. Right here, Lord. Begin to minister. Minister, oh God. Come on, come on, reach out. Let God do something. I sense Him doing a powerful thing right now. In this. Strengthening. Strengthening. The strength of the Lord. Come on, let Him touch you. Let Him minister to you. Go beyond just to preach you. Go beyond just... I need you, Lord. I need you. I'm told all night my heart is broken. I need you. I've labored hard and nothing seemed to be going right. I need you.
I sing, but my joy is gone. I need you. Come on, cry out to Him. I need you, Lord. You know how much I need you. You know how much I need you to minister to me tonight, oh Lord. I don't want to leave here like I came. I don't want to wash my net and go away. I don't want this thing to be a snare or cripple me for the rest of my walk. No, my God, help me. Help me, God. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Oh, the Master is here to help you. He's here to help you tonight. Jesus. 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 Heal the hurt. Come on, reach out and let Him heal you. Let Him touch you. Let Him minister to you. Let Him minister to you tonight.